Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Howdy, how you?
Are you preparing for your trip to the SEC?
No, I'm preparing you for your trip to where you're going, because when you're going to hit certain borders, it's going to say Waffle Shop, Waffle House, next 80 exits.
I am there. Love that place.
Yeah. The only guy I know in our area that has a gift card to it.
My family knows me well when it comes to the holidays. Wow. Weird.
By the way, congratulations to your son who made Life Scout.
Yes, he did.
And that is one step below being an Eagle Scout, which he's already started to map out his Eagle project. You know, we kid about Danny every once in a while on the show. That's only because we think the world of him. This is a great accomplishment by a young man and very goal-oriented to get there. You have to accomplish a lot to get the Life Scout. Now the next hurdle is to become Eagle Scout, which is an extremely, extremely special designation. So congratulations to him.
He was very, very happy, and I will pass that along. He's most excited about the fact that now all he has to do is get his Eagle, and he's surpassed Dad in something. That's what he's really happy about, I think.
That's wonderful. I think it's great. I think it's great, and it is a tremendous accomplishment. Well-deserved, and the praise I am giving is not a... All right, basketball now. Let's get everybody up to date on the scoreboard. Kevin, you can go out and get yourself a beverage.
Actually, I want to know how the lowest scoring game in basketball history is doing right now.
No. They're actually putting some points up now. Oh, okay. Indiana beat Illinois today, 80-64. Cody Zeller had 24 in that one. Miami of Florida beat Boston College, 69-58. Florida beat LSU, 80-58, and Louis are 72-55. Now the game that are in, okay, IF and Michigan going head-to-head. IF stands for Ice Fishermen. In a game that featured 37 points total in the first half, okay, Wisconsin has scored 34 points on its own in the second half. How about that? It's now 51-45. Wisconsin leads Michigan. Now, the pace has been ratcheted up, and that should play well to Michigan. Now, Wisconsin is a team that normally runs that shot clock under 8 most of the time. But what they've done, the big change in Bo's offense is that he's allowing them early in the possession, that if they have a quick hitter early in the possession, they take it. If they don't have the quick hitter and it's not available, then they do the they grind it down, trying to bore you to death, and then score. But Wisconsin, has, with 6:37 to go, leads Michigan 51-45. Winner gets Indiana tomorrow. LaSalle and Butler. LaSalle started to pull away. This is a two-point game at the break. Butler now leads by 10 at Barclays, 59-49, with 7:23 to go. Alabama, Tennessee. This is a must win for these two, either one of these teams. They each need it. Alabama leads Tennessee 26-24 in Nashville with 1:43 to go in the half. NC State, 7:25 to go. They have Virginia and they have it controlled. They lead 60-46. Wisconsin just hit two free throws. Now they lead Michigan by 8. Jackson State, Prairie View A&M, 24-20 Jackson State, 5:15 to go in the first half in the SWAC semifinal in Garland, Texas.
Actually, I was kind of peeping on that one, and Prairie View just hit a three to make it a one-point game.
24-23. UTEP, Southern Mississippi getting underway as we speak in the Conference USA semifinals in Tulsa. Everything else is tonight. Nebraska, Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, Maryland, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia and Florida State. Vanderbilt, Kentucky tonight. Coming up,
Also coming up tonight?
Yeah, I hadn't said it yet.
Oh, okay. I thought I missed
Notre
it.
Notre Dame, Louisville, Georgetown, Syracuse. Another really good one, San Diego State, New Mexico. A really good one tonight in the Mountain West semifinal. And Colorado State's in the other half of that thing, if I recall correctly. And they have that kid, Colton Iverson, whom I was very impressed with. He played at Minnesota. He transferred. UCLA, Arizona tonight. Utah, Oregon tonight in the Pac-12. Missouri plays Ole Miss tonight. Vanderbilt, Kentucky on the other side. My friend, I mentioned acquaintance and Jim Delaney. Yeah, we each know each other. But I would say Kevin Stallings, the head coach of Vanderbilt, I would consider a friend. Spent a lot of time with him this summer when his son Jacob was on the State College Spikes baseball team. So those are some of the games coming up tonight. North Dakota, Weber State, Big Sky. That is the championship game. That's actually semifinal in Missoula, Montana. You've been to Missoula, have you?
No.
Okay. Kent State, Akron tonight. This is semifinal in the MAC in Cleveland. Akron with Zeke Marshall. It's only one of the better teams that we've, you know, that Penn State actually faced this year. Played him down in Puerto Rico. That was the game where Tim Frazier got hurt. 56-45, Ice Fishermen lead by 9, or by 11 now, by 11 over Michigan. Wow. Let me see if Hardaway got back in this game, because I don't have the game
he
on
did.
Here. He got back in the game?
Yeah, right. Right before half.
Yeah, he's got 14.7 boards. All right. And Brust has 14. Let's see. What is the issue here? 40%, 2 of 8 and 3s. They're going to have to change that. They're only 7 of 14 at the line. Ice Fishermen are 39%. But, see, they're a volume shooting three-point team. 20 of their 51 shots are three-point shots. They made 8. They're 8 of 11 at the line. 24 and 8, 32 to 13 at the two lines. Got to give the IF some credit, man. Come up big.
Well, they're up to 40% now. They were shooting about 17.
Brust is, let's see, that's 2-3. Okay. Brust is 4-7 and 3s. Trayvon Jackson is 1 of 2. Bruzewicz is 2 of 4 and 3s. You're kidding me. Bruzewicz was 4 for his last 30 and 3-point shots entering the game. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, they just played Penn State. That's why I know. I know what the research is. Because I prep two games when I go to the Big Ten tournament. I prep two games. Because I know if they win, they're going to play another opponent the next day. So I have Wisconsin all prepped.
Very smart.
Sean on Big Ten football. Hello, Sean.
Steve, first time, long time. Love the show. With the crowds that we're noticing at the Big Ten basketball tournament, do you think the conference will seriously consider moving the title football game from Indianapolis to Chicago?
Well, they've got 3 more years to go on the contract in Indianapolis. The difference in between, and it's going to go, by the way, the Big Ten basketball tournament goes back to Indianapolis next year. Chicago then in 2015, Indianapolis in 16, then they'll review what to do with it. Part of the Indianapolis deal is playing indoors. That definitely is part of it, that they feel like they're in a climate-controlled situation, which they like. And I think that has a lot to do with it, because when you're talking about venues in the Big Ten, you can play at Lambeau Field in Green Bay. You can play at Soldier Field in Chicago. I mean, there's so many places you can play in this thing. I mean, you can go indoors to Ford Field in Detroit if you want. You can play at Cleveland Stadium. You can, and now when Minnesota's done building their stadium, what they're going to do is they're going to tear down the Metrodome and build a new indoor stadium on the same site. Minnesota's going to, the Vikings are going to play at the University of Minnesota's TCF Bank Stadium in 14 and 15 while they're building this $975 million stadium. So, I mean, the Big Ten has options. I think right now they're happy with Indianapolis as a centralized location for football, and they're also happy that, obviously, that it is an indoor venue.
And also a big congratulations to the Bucknell Bison. What a great idea that they're doing Sunday night, letting the fans be with the team when they find out Sunday night during the selection show who they're going to be playing with their event at the Campus Theater. So they're to be commended for coming up with that great idea. And it was great to hear you talk to Coach Paulson on a weekly basis during the season. He was just really happy after the big win on Wednesday night.
Well, we'll try and get him back on the show once we find out about the bid, because obviously it's going to be a pretty compressed situation for Bucknell, finding out who the opponent is, trying to learn about them as quickly as possible. Plus, the Bucknell players have to be back in school on Monday.
And, Kev, congratulations to Daniel. Enjoy your vacation next week, and I know Steve will enjoy Kevin's time off, too.
I'm sure he will. Thank you.
Right. Sean, thank you for offering great insight.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Great.
So,
insight.
What?
Give you a great insight.
This kid that we have coming in, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like you going on vacation is a lot like Drew Bledsoe getting hit in the Jets game.
Nice. That's great. Thanks for that analogy.
It's like Marvin Lewis just showed up. Now we bring in Danny. Michigan has run off. They've run off 9 unanswered points.
Yeah, they've started the score.
Let me guess who's been doing the scoring. I'm going to vote for Trey. Let's see, what's Trey been doing here? Suddenly, Trey has 14 points. Taking a lot of shots to get there, though. 17 shots to get there. He's 6 of 17. But they still are stuck on two. I mean, they have 9 unanswered points, but they don't have a single 3-point basket in the run. It's amazing. I mean, Stauskas is 1 of 6 in the game. Come on, man. Find a gear. All right. McGarry has 9 off the bench. He had a double-double against Penn State yesterday. I like him. I like McGarry a lot. I think he hustles his brains out there. Also, Butler now leads LaSalle 64-58. LaSalle, there's still 5 minutes left in this thing, and they are coming back in the ballgame. Galloway was killing him early. Galloway and Mills were combined 1 for 14 at one point from the field. Let's see what our guys are doing now. They're combined 2 for 16. But Jarrell Wright, who did not play well against Penn State, is playing really well today, is 14. And Tyreek Duren, who was great against Penn State, is great today. 19 points, my man, on 12 shots.
Wow.
Okay?
That's efficiency.
Rodney Clark, who did not play against LaSalle the first time when Butler played them, has 11. And Kyle Marshall has 12 on 7 shots. Wow. Very nice.
Real quick, I know we have a break coming, but let's say Wisconsin pulls this out and beats Michigan. Mm-hmm. Does Michigan drop on some brackets now? Do they drop in the seedings a little bit? Or will they or are they good enough just to maintain where they're at? I think a lot of people had them at 3 or 4.
No, they'd be on the 2 line right now.
Really, a 2? Okay.
Oh, yeah. And they'd probably end up being a 3 if they lose this game.
No, that's not.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not dangerous.
We'll go. No, it's not dangerous. If they drop to a 4, okay, now you're bracketed against 1. Look, seedings mean zilch in 2013. They mean nothing.
Tell that to the 16-1 matchups.
Kevin, they mean nothing. Okay?
So you're saying to me that that right now with the parity in college basketball, things are ripe for a 16 to finally beat a 1.
Sure.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Now, the difference between a 16 and a 1 is this, okay? There is a difference. In every 16-1 matchup, it is a conference champion against a conference champion most times.
True.
All right. That means they're both going in with momentum. A lot of these upsets that you see happen to be conference champion upsetting at-large team. You know, there are going to be 31 teams in the NCAA tournament that are going in on winning streaks. There are going to be 37 going in off a loss. Bucknell's dangerous, good team, veteran team, winning streak. Come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2004 Volvo XC40 four-door twin turbo with four-wheel drive, lowest price promise, $9,994. A 2006 BMW X3 four-door four-wheel drive, $14,299. 2008 Ford Escape four-wheel drive V6 limited, only $15,988. 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS, just $15,943. A 2012 Hyundai Veloster three-door coupe with black interior. Call for a price. 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
It's not a pot of gold, but Brewers Outlet has unbelievable prices on Guinness. Big Nitro Black Cans, just $35.99. Guinness Stout, $29.95. Harp, $25.99. And wow, Guinness Black, only $25.99. The Irish Lock has Killian's for $17.97. St. Patty's deals don't get better than this, so don't forget Guinness for only $25.99. And Killian's, $17.97 a case. Only at the area's beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
They're playing basketball. We love
that. And next week we'll talk a lot about wrestling, too. We've got a lot going on next week because the NCAA Women's Tournament starts. The selection's Monday night. Lady Lions are expected to be a 2 or a 3, probably a 2. We've had the seedings already out now for the NCAA Wrestling Championships, and Penn State has. The seedings are very good for Penn State. Penn State might have the thing wrapped up by Saturday next week.
Unfortunately, Bucknell's Corey Lear is not going to be able to make it this year. That's a shame.
Saw that. Yeah. Saw that. And, of course, the men's tournament gets underway with the first four on Tuesday. I am going to Philadelphia Friday. It'll be the first time ever, in all likelihood, Duke is there. It'll be the first time I've ever seen Duke play in person.
Really?
Never seen Duke play in person.
I got a friend of mine who's a huge Duke fan and got a chance to do a Bucknell women's game. They were playing at Duke, and that was the first time he had ever been able to be in the arena to call a game. And he said that was the best moment.
I've never even seen Cameron Indoor.
Yep, he said being in Cameron Indoor to call the game was the best moment.
Yeah, I can imagine it was. Let's update scores for everybody. Wisconsin leads Michigan 61-56, but there's only 90 seconds left. Now, remember, Wisconsin's the higher seed in there, not Michigan. Even though Michigan's the higher-ranked team, Wisconsin's the higher seed. Dick just texted me. He says, Galloway can't hit a shot and LaSalle can't rebound. Well, that makes sense. They're down 69-58 to Butler with 1:26 to play.
I was going
to
say, that's why they're down 11.
Minute 11 to go in Greensboro. NC State leads Virginia 73-54 on the doorstep of going to the ACC semifinals. Alabama and Tennessee at the break. Each team needs this game to have any hope. 31-27, Alabama leads it over Tennessee at halftime. Underway already in conference USA. semifinal in Tulsa early, 14 minutes ago, first half. Southern Mississippi leads Texas El Paso 9-7. Halftime, SWAC semifinal in Garland, Texas. Prairie View A&M leads Jackson State by a score 34-33. Both teams, by the way, under 500 on the season. How about that? Jackson State's 11-17, Prairie View A&M's 14-18. Now, you know, part of that's a product if you play a non-conference schedule and all of a sudden you're playing Kentucky, Tennessee, New Mexico. You go boom, boom, boom. You know, your job is to go in there, take your $80,000 and leave. Okay? But their conference records, Jackson State's 9-9, and Prairie View A&M's 8-10. Now, that tells you that, oh, well. So those are the games going on. Get you up to date on that.
I'm amazed at this Wisconsin score right now. Wisconsin is one away from putting 50 in this second half, and they were shooting 17% from the field in the first half. Now they're up to 40.
There's 37 points total between the two teams in the first half.
They just, I mean, 49 points in the second half?
What did I say earlier about Michigan defensively?
You're right.
I said Michigan is a weak defensive team. Michigan, in my opinion, if it's the wrong matchup, does not get out of the first weekend.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Indiana cannot be happy about the result today. Wisconsin won. You're like, well, yeah, boy, that's great for Indiana. You know, it's like, you know, Michigan's so much more athletic. No. Wisconsin has beaten Indiana the last 11 times they've played. Bloomington, Indianapolis, Madison, it doesn't matter. They won the last 11. That means Cody Zeller's never played in the game that they won. Jordy Halls, Christian Watford, Victor Oladipo, Derek Elston. They've never beaten Wisconsin in their careers. And not only that, when they played earlier this year in Bloomington, Wisconsin put a vice on them. And you know how I feel about past history. I think for the most part, that's just mumbo jumbo. Well, you know, this is the 15th time they met, and they won 14 out of 15. And then all of a sudden, you look, they haven't played each other since 2001. There isn't a single player out there. They don't give a darn. Just don't. What do they care? So I was like, and the history shows, like, if you've never played them, it's irrelevant. I mean, to me, that's the last thing that put Billy Packer over the edge on CBS. Okay, Kansas and North Carolina went to overtime in the Final Four. He says, "Well, Kansas and North Carolina know all about overtime." They started talking about the triple overtime game in '57. Okay, not even the coaches were born. What do they care that Wilt and Kansas went triple overtime with North Carolina? Now, this is a different situation. You're talking about players who have played this team and have played them frequently and have never beaten them. And this tournament game is not in Indianapolis. It is in Chicago. See, that's where it becomes relevant, when the players themselves have participated in the streak and have had no success. And you're going to see, for example, Penn State, Maryland, when they play football for the first time. That Penn State's 35-1-1 against Maryland. So what? It was relevant when they were playing each other every year.
Well, I was going to say, when was the last time they matched up? I can't even tell you what year it was. I know you know in about 3 seconds.
Well, Penn State won that night 70-7.
There you go.
Okay. So 70-7. 99. Right? Down at Bird Stadium. Just keep the daylights out. And but they haven't played since. So when they start anew, they literally start anew. Oh, they've dominated this series. Yes, they have dominated the series, and it's significant when you play them year after year after year after year. Now it's significant because the other team comes in knowing that, you know, every single guy in that team has never beaten them. But when they start playing, then maybe as early as 2014, we'll see. They start fresh because the players have never played against one another in this series ever. That's why I always, well, you know, the history shows what I mean. History means nothing to a college player. Okay? Except what they've been involved in. And that for Wisconsin and Indiana, yeah, 11 straight is significant because this 11 straight isn't spread out over 40 years. This 11 straight is spread out over 5 years, 6 years. They only met once this year. Indiana's trying to be a number one seed. If they could be a number one seed, it would then put the regional at Lucas Oil Stadium. Interesting, huh? Wisconsin won today 68-59. They scored 51 points in the second half after the two teams combined for 37 in the tractor pull in the first half. Two teams combined for 90 points in the second half.
What was it in the second half if the first half was a tractor pull?
Basketball.
Oh, okay.
I mean, basketball. Basketball is a game of flow, passing, shooting. Good defense, but defense without using your hands on the player.
By the way, I'd like to see that get called a little more at every level.
Hand check?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it should be.
I think if you call hand checking a little more often, again, at every level, you avoid the forearm that gets called on the offensive side.
I also think block charge is going to be looked at. Larry Scarrato yesterday called three of them. He was perfect on all three. Larry gets it.
I don't know. Sometimes you think that officials are... just don't want to give the offensive foul in that particular case.
That's been the problem. They're giving out too many offensive fouls.
Oh, you think you're talking the other way around?
Oh, yes.
Well,
oh,
see, well no, now maybe it's different.
I'm sorry.
You're at a different level, though.
People jumping in last second and, I'm here. No, you're not. Okay? Play defense. You got beat. Oh, I'm going to get to the spot first. Why don't you slap the ball away?
See, I don't think I mean, what I've been seeing this year at the high school level especially, I don't think I've seen as many offensive calls as I may have in past years. And I think that the only offensive calls that I do see are the forearms, and that's because of the hand checking that's allowed.
Well, off arm. You got to call. I mean, I think they need to take the early part of the season next year and establish block charge. They also need to establish the use of the off arm. You do it, you should be called for the foul. There was a play at Michigan. DJ Newbill scored in the play. Okay. Patrick went nuts on the sideline. The difference is that Patrick was on the other side, on my side where I could see it. Newbill used the arm and got rid of him. It was a great call. I don't even remember who made the call in the game. Yeah, it was a great call. Official was all over it. DJ did foul him. He took his arm and went, get out of the way.
But if you're playing defense, you shouldn't have to touch the guy to play defense.
They should not allow you to touch a player defensively. It is not supposed to be a contact sport.
Right.
It is supposed to be passing and shooting, dribbling and flow. To me, you're not supposed to have your hands on them.
No, I agree.
They allow it left and right. The Big Ten's been as guilty as anybody of physical play, especially in the post. Not as much in the perimeter, but in the post. And part of that has been when Bob Knight invented and put the motion offense in, because of all the screening, he created more contact in the game.
And it's funny, you know, we talk about that little forearm by the offensive player to get some separation. And through the whole season, although I don't believe we've ever heard from any of the officials or anybody in the PIAA that that was a point of emphasis this year. Dave and I talked many times. We believe it was a point of emphasis because I've seen it called more this year than we ever have. And it was just funny. You know, we'll sit there, watch a game. We'll look at each other, go, point of emphasis.
But I'm telling you right now, okay, the PIAA should come straight out and tell you it's a point of emphasis as an announcer, so you know.
Well, and in their defense, they may have, but it's not, you know, it's usually in minutes of a meeting that's somewhere that maybe I have seen or maybe I haven't seen, quite frankly.
Then call the head officials, they'll tell you. I call Rick Boyajis and Bill Carollo and say, what's the point of emphasis this year, guys? They tell me. So yeah, I know.
That's what we do football season especially.
Yeah, I call. Scoreboard, Wisconsin 1 beat Michigan 68-59. They get Indiana next. They knocked out Illinois. Cody Zeller had 24 today to lead the way for Indiana in that one. He was the man in every respect. Ben Brust had 14, a balanced attack today for the Ice Fishermen. Trayvon Jackson at 16. So Trayvon Jackson, who had a career-high 15 against Penn State, goes a career-best 16 today. 4 of 7. 7 of 8 at the free throw line.
That's a nice little tournament.
Yeah, he's done well. 14 for Ben Brust. Benny was 5 of 10, 1.4 points a shot. Ryan Evans had 12. Brusewitz had 8. Hit 2 threes. I'm still blown away by that. And Bergeron had 8 points and 4 boards. All right. Brust had 8 rebounds, too. It's an area where Brust has really changed. His rebounding is so much better this year. He had 5 double-figure rebounding games this year. Butler won. They took out LaSalle 69-58. LaSalle is squarely on the bubble. In fact, the bubble is right around Joe Lenardi's neighborhood. NC State won. Beat Virginia 75-56. They get Miami next. Miami won today, knocked out BC. Alabama, Tennessee. This one is a fight to the finish in Nashville. Is this the game that both teams need? Alabama leads at 41-36 with 14-17 to go. SWAC semifinal. Garland, Texas, about the only place Kevin has not vacationed in the last year.
Is that near Prairie View, Austin?
Prairie View A&M leads Jackson State 42-38. In Tulsa, Southern Mississippi leads UTEP 29-21 with 7 minutes to go first half. The Prairie View A&M Jackson State game, they're at the under 16 timeout. Tonight, MEAC semifinal in Norfolk. Bethune-Cookman against Morgan State. Both teams meandered through the season there. Stephen F. Austin against Southeast Louisiana. Now, Stephen F. Austin is definitely the favorite in the Southland. They went 26-3. And that is a semifinal in Katy, Texas, Roger Clemens' hometown. Tonight, Big Ten Tournament, Nebraska, Ohio State, Iowa, and Michigan State. Big East Tournament coming up tonight. Georgetown, Syracuse, Louisville, Notre Dame at the Garden. Then in Greensboro, quarterfinals tonight. Duke, Maryland, North Carolina, Florida State. St. Joe's, VCU, that is tonight. Also, Temple plays tonight, I believe. Temple does play tonight. They play UMass. Howe University, Western Michigan. Also, Akron plays. New Mexico State, Texas State in the WAC men's semifinal in Las Vegas. There are 5 tournaments in Las Vegas this year. The WAC is there. Mountain West is there. Pac-12's there. WCC's already been there. Arizona against UCLA. Meanwhile, Mountain West has New Mexico against San Diego State. That should be a good one. Northwestern State, against Sam Houston State. And Northwestern State's the only team in the Southland that can challenge Stephen F. Austin. So those are some of the games coming tonight. Vanderbilt, Kentucky tonight down in Nashville. North Dakota, Weber State, Big Sky semifinal in Missoula, Montana. You ever been there?
No.
Okay. Kansas and Iowa State.
Isn't that where Musburger lives?
He's from Montana, yeah.
Yeah.
And Kansas State plays tonight as well. A lot to, the Joe Lenardi bracket has Bucknell against Kansas State in Kansas City at the Sprint Center.
Might as well be a home game.
Well, but that's part of the pod system.
No, I know. I know. That's what they're trying to do. I get that.
They're trying to get more fans there.
Now that you've explained it to me, I understand it.
They're just trying to get more. They're just trying to get fans to games. And, I mean, you can have a neutral site game and have Bucknell play Kansas State in Boise. Okay.
Right.
Who's going to generate the juice in the building?
Right.
I mean, that one year they sent Georgetown, Maryland, and George Mason all to Boise. I mean, three schools separated by 8 miles. they're out in Idaho. Oh, my goodness. He sat back and said, who thought of this? Would they think they could travel together? Or? Wow.
Save money on the flight.
Don't think so. Don't think that's going to happen.
You know, talking about saving money, this switched gears a little bit from basketball, but it looks like the Eagles will no longer, matter of fact, it doesn't look like it, they've announced that they will no longer have their camp at Lehigh University, which I think is a shame. They've been there since 96. Before that, they were at Westchester, and then I think, let's see, they were at Widener for a while and Albright College for a while. I know a lot of these NFL teams are switching to going to their own facilities because it's, you know, closer for the trainers. They have all their equipment there. They don't have to maneuver everything. It's probably more cost effective. But I don't think it has that same intimate feel for the fans when it's, in this case, back at Lincoln Financial Field. Now, they're still going to have a bunch of open practices, which will be free, but you don't have the access that you do when it's at camp. And I think that's what's going to be missing. And I know a lot of NFL teams are doing this. It'd be a shame to see them all get away from that.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the weekend, tournament time. Next week, we'll talk about the women's tournament selections. Penn State's going. We'll talk about the NCAA wrestling championships because Penn State may have that thing wrapped by Saturday night. Really? I mean, sir, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
I know. I watched the Big Ten tournament. I know.
Seedings are already out, and of course, we have the NCAA men's tournament next week. So a lot going on. I'd like to thank Buter and Danny for coming in next week and joining me to talk about it, sports fan to sports fan. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. That's right. While real sports is going on next week, somebody will be having sun and fun.
There you go. I just served one up for you. You're welcome.
Well, the rest of us are out there, and, somebody has to get the tractor to the barn.
Well, nobody could do it in the first half of that game that you were just talking about with the ice fishermen in Michigan. You were calling that a tractor pull? What's with all the farm analogies today?
Well, I said ice fishing is a farm?
No, but you had tractor pull. Somebody's got to get the tractor to the barn.
Well, that's called work.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
I speak for many in this broadcast facility. Have a good time.
Thank you. I'll be watching everything. Don't worry. I'll have my phone handy. That's the beautiful thing about technology.
You know, Buter and I were talking last week.
Oh, that's bad news.
Buhner, Sarah, me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Boy, Danny's got a lot of potential.
Danny will be in with you the first 3 days.
Golly, he's got a lot of potential. But if you feel secure about yourself, want to go on vacation, that's up to you.
Yes, we'll be visiting the Chanticleers. I just love that.
Yeah, good for you. All right.
See, maybe Penn State should play a game down there one of these years. Then you could make the trip. You could make a trip there.
I've done games in Charleston.
Charleston's beautiful.
I've done 5 games in Charleston. I've done 1 at Clemson. So I've done games down there. Done a game in North Carolina, East Carolina, a couple of NC State. So, I mean, I've done games down there. It's beautiful down there. Done some games in Atlanta, many games in Atlanta. So it's beautiful down there. Looks like it's a great place to vacation. Looks like it's a great place to have some fun.
Unfortunately, the Pelicans will not be in town yet. They're still at spring training.
They are owned by Chuck Greenberg, who also owns the State College Spikes.
That's a really nice stadium down there, too, for a minor league ball
club. That's what Chuck said.
I mean, even the upper deck seats are angled. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a lot of Citizens Bank Park with the way they're angled and they're not far from the field.
Mm-hmm. So, from 5 o'clock until, 12:30 in the morning, I am going to be anchored to a spot.
Just make sure that, the refrigerator is within arm's reach.
And you know what? After doing all the games I've done since June, I think I can.
It's
I think it's okay for me to anchor myself to a spot for a while. I am covering Philadelphia next week. The 4 games on Friday and the 2 games Sunday.
You've earned this weekend. The Christmas decorations are down. Nothing's stopping you.
No, nothing's stopping me. So I've got that. I do have the National Football Foundation lunch on Sunday. I have to MC with Bill O'Brien.
Which you won't prepare for because everything will be off the top of your head anyway. So, yeah, you're good.
I'll probably sit down and do a nice little one-on-one with him, which maybe we'll have for you on Monday.
That's why the podcast is here.
While you are repeatedly sunning yourself.